Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. One last time down here in Fort Morgan, Alabama. The Wright family will be packing up in the old Yukon tomorrow morning and headed back to Memphis. Hope everyone is doing okay throughout the storms back home. So George, who, of course, is our producer, George Ruggiero. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. Is it as scary as it looked online?
So I was – I'm going to pat myself on the back here.
You're in the dungeon. You're in the dungeon that is our studio.
So you might not have the idea. I went and got lunch today after finishing out with Jeff, and I quickly looked outside and thought, normally, I don't eat lunch right at like 11:30, 12, but I looked outside and said, oh, it's going to come down any minute now. I better run. Within, 10 minutes of me getting back to the station and posting up in a room to eat, the bottom falls out.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully everybody is A-OK back home. It's something that our company, as he is on Tuesday and Friday, rarely has to deal with. He, of course, is out in Las Vegas. He, of course, is Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, VSiN's college football, college basketball betting podcast. Also, make sure you check out VSiN's betting tailgate show weekends at 9 a.m. Central Time on Twitter, on X, at 1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
I don't know what you guys talk about. It's 82 and sunny. What's happening?
Yeah, no, we got more severe weather, it looks like, in Memphis. We've been getting hit pretty hard, and it seems like this time, George, there's some power issues. Like we've gone through post pandemic, they didn't trim our trees, and so every time the wind blew, half the city would lose power. They've done a good job of getting that fixed, but it seems like there's some power issues going on now.
Maybe in other places, but yeah. Not at the station. We are rocking and rolling.
That's a note from Mrs. Wright, who freaks out about the power every single time there's a storm. But we do have some breaking news. The Grizzlies will be removing the interim tag from Tuomas Iasalo, so he will be the Grizzlies' new head coach. We'll talk about that. Also, John Hollinger, of course, the former VP of basketball operations for the Grizzlies, who now writes for The Athletic. He had another piece after Michael Pena had a piece on The Ringer about the Grizzlies in their offseason. And I want to pose the question of whether or not the Grizzlies are one of the more interesting teams this offseason, because they are certainly getting written about at a pretty high level. I don't know if they're the most, but I certainly think that there's a reason why people are writing about them. And so I want to discuss that with Tim. Also get into, of course, the breaking news as well. Blake Topmeyer is going to join the program like he does each and every Friday. Blake has been ranking coaches. It was something that Cobb and I started discussing yesterday. And Tim, it is kind of weird to think about it in these terms. So Blake put it on Twitter yesterday, X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X. Dabo's the number one coach in the ACC. Who's number two? Because there's this weird reality that we live in a universe now where the most successful NFL head coach, you know, I think it's obvious at this point, he's the greatest NFL head coach of all time. I know he doesn't have the overall wins record, but he was the head coach at a much more competitive era than what we've seen. Most Super Bowls, and nobody has any idea how to rank him as a college football head coach.
He's never coached a college football game in his life.
Yeah, and it's just like I was telling Cobb, like, I could see it going one of two ways. We're going to wake up at like the middle of October and be like, why were we thinking that this was hard? Like, he coached at the NFL level. Like, of course he can do this. He can coach. Or we're going to like realize, like, oh yeah, like, he can't relate to this era, and maybe there were some signs preseason, aka what we've been watching this week, that maybe this wasn't going to go well. And like, I don't know if there's like a middle ground where he just goes like 7-5. It feels like we're gonna know like right off the bat of like, yo, yeah, this was a no doubter, or man, this was an experiment that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the situation with his current lady friend is one that is a little unusual. Put it lightly there, but yeah, I mean, I would still say Norvell because of the undefeated season, but I'm sure plenty of people would argue that maybe that's a one-off, right? You know, they took an enormous step back. I mean, I don't know how you can possibly go 2-10 at Florida State. Like, that's hard to do, and they were an absolute and utter disaster last year. Like, that was
especially in a league where if you have money, when so many of those teams don't have money, it's unbelievable.
That was some like Charlie Weiss 2007.
Yeah.
Guy can't coach. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what Florida State does. But yeah, that's a pretty interesting question when you think about the ACC, because yeah, it's Dabo clearly, and then after that, do you put Bill Belichick there based off of his obvious NFL resume, or do you say you can't rank him because he's never coached?
Applicable.
Right, it's like, I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, the ACC. I mean, I'll say this, and I've been diving into the college football ranks. I know we've got Grizzly breaking news, so I won't go too in depth on this. We'll talk more about it later, but if Clemson doesn't win the ACC this year, like, man, I think they're clear cut the best team in the conference this year, and they've got a lot of things going their way, but we'll see how it all plays out.
No, I think it's an interesting thing. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Blake. Also, he has ranked SEC coaches. So we'll get into a few things that he has written about and talked about during the week. We'll do that during the next segment. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We'll talk about games of the weekend. Also, Tim, it's Derby weekend, but does it feel like Derby weekend to you?
I don't know. I don't know if Derby weekend has a feel for me. I've never been a big Derby guy. I watch it, and that's pretty much it. There was a moment in time when I worked for NBC Sports Radio, and I was asked to do a Derby preview show, so I did a lot of homework on it, and that was pretty much it. So I'll watch it, and I'll throw a couple random bets out there on horses whose names I like, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yep, it's Derby weekend, and we'll talk about that.
Have you been?
I've never been. I mean, obviously, as a degenerate, Derby weekend is, I wouldn't say, like, for me, it's nowhere near like the list of like first weekend of the tournament, opening weekend of football. I have a fond memory. Like, one year I had no idea what I was doing betting the Derby, and instead of putting like a $2 ticket on American Pharoah in a box, I made a $20 ticket. And so when I looked up at the end of the race and like you're refreshing your account, like, instead of making like a couple hundred bucks, I made a couple thousand bucks. And so I used that to go on a golf trip. So I've got fond memories of that. That horse will always hold a special place in my heart. And apparently one of his sires is running this weekend. So I don't know. Maybe out of honor and respect to his father, I might have to put a couple of shackles on him and lose. It's always nice to like start off Derby weekend with just like a couple of nice big fat losers. So looking forward to that as well. We'll tell your story and then we'll get out of here. But I think let's start with the breaking news. And Tim, I don't expect you to have a couple of pages of notes on Tuomas Iasalo, but the Grizzlies make it official, and he will indeed be the next head coach. They're removing the interim tag, and it's this, I don't know, it's kind of it's a weird situation, which might honestly define kind of the Grizzlies offseason right now, where I don't necessarily think it was the wrong move, but I don't know if it's the move that I would have made. And this is really the reason I would say that. Number one, I'm not questioning his basketball knowledge, his basketball acumen. I just think that when you look at where the Grizzlies are and they don't have a lot of paths to improving beyond just bringing their team back, maybe making a couple of moves at the margins, they're likely to have their mid-level exception, so maybe they could do something with that. But by and large, they're bringing back mostly the same team, and there's this weird reality with the fan base where, you know, you've mentioned it, the Grizzlies, to you, feel a lot like the Bucks, where they feel stuck. And I don't think that's a bad take. But to me, it was like they needed to do something to show to the fan base. Admittedly, on Sunday, Zach Kleiman said, like, we're not good enough. And this year was not good enough. And to me, I thought injecting in a new coach could be something, even if it's largely symbolic and maybe it's largely a marketing move, at least it signals to your fans, we're trying to do something different. And even though Tuomas is not, you know, necessarily the part of the old regime, but he was on staff. And like, it's just really tough to sit there and go, this is going to be the change that the team needs. And even if it's right, but if it's right, the problem that I see is basically what you're saying is, all right, we're going to let the scoreboard do the talking. And that's, I get it. That's the point of sports. We keep score for a reason, but that's a slow build. And right now, a lot of people are apathetic, and you can understand why they're apathetic. I don't think this is a move that's exactly, let's just say this. I don't think it's going to win a press conference. Is that the most important thing? No. The most important thing is to get the hire right. Josh Heupel didn't win the press conference for Tennessee, but they got the hire right. There have been lots of coaches that do win the press conference, and it doesn't work out. I guess in hindsight, like, I'm not surprised. I did think, though, that they would at least give the illusion of doing a real coaching search. The reality is, with it being on this timeline, and also, I mean, I think you have to somewhat say Friday at 2 p.m., like, it's kind of a news dump. Wouldn't you agree?
It is very news dumpy. I don't know if that's a word.
Of course, I don't even – does it matter? Like, yeah, I guess, like, but it's like, it, from a PR perspective, you release this on a Friday for a reason.
Right. Well, yeah, let's just talk about it from that standpoint, because I think that's where I actually can give you some help or insight. Is like, all right, what has happened today? Greg Popovich retired. They've hired his replacement. Brian Windhorst has indicated that Giannis could go to the Spurs potentially. We have a Game 7 tonight, or Game 6 tonight, with the Warriors and Rockets. LeBron got hurt, and I know you want to talk about that, courtesy of McMenamin, I believe, Dave McMenamin.
New LeBron spokesman.
And, the Grizzlies have hired their coach.
Hired a coach.
Like, dude, this is like number 9 on, like, and oh, by the way, Jalen Brunson hit one of the more iconic threes we've seen in playoff.
You mean
recent.
Greatest Nick of all time?
Yeah, jeez. I mean, God, sorry. I get.
Quick digression.
Why do we always do this?
Part of me, I think if you embrace it for content, the NBA playoffs is the absolute best for takes, because every take is so absurd and will never last, honestly, sometimes even until the next round. But you get, everyone with basketball just wants to be so dramatic, and everything is the biggest thing ever. Nothing just exists. Like, it's not just, hey, Jalen Brunson hit a shot to beat a 44-win team in 6, but it's like everything in the, like, last year, Anthony Edwards, next Michael Jordan. And it's just, if you just view it as content, it's actually an awesome time. The problem is, so many people are so serious and so dramatic about the NBA, it can become insufferable.
Well, I mean, just take LeBron. I know he's a hot topic every second of the NBA cycle. But how many times have we heard people, well, if he wins this game, he definitely passes Jordan. Oh, if he loses this game, crippling for his legacy. Yes. I mean, we've been doing it for like two decades, essentially, with LeBron.
I mean, what, 20? Yeah, probably now. What, realistically, since the Heat, it's basically every playoff series.
No, I would say the loss to the Magic was pretty bad for the he'll never win. Jordan would never lose that game. I mean, he was definitely
inspiring takes.
I mean, hell, there were takes in 07 about him taking that jabroni squad to the finals, and then they get swept, and it was, oh my God, look how young he is. Oh, Jordan never got swept in the NBA finals. It's like, okay. I mean, it's just, they've been going on for almost two decades regarding him. But yeah, I mean, look, the Jalen Brunson shot was one of the most badass plays.
It was an awesome play. I don't want to say ever, but
the dude stopped on a dime, goes between his legs the other way. Thompson breaks his ankles, and now he's got the moment of, holy crap, wide open, tie game, on the road, and he buries it. Like, it was so badass, but we always do this. We always do this. And it's greatest Nick of all time. Okay, buddy. What happens when they get swept by the Celtics in the second round? You do know this franchise has existed for a long time. And breaking news, this franchise has won championships.
Well, like, on top of that, the Knicks kind of were the Eastern version of the Grizzlies. Obviously, the East was not as competitive as the West was, but fans had almost the exact same complaints. Like, the team can beat all the bad teams, but when they play a good team, they can't win. Well, they beat the 44-win Pistons. Like, congratulations. Like, it's cool to see Detroit on fire. Like, it was cool to see the scenes and whatnot. But, like, that, they're just going to turn around and lose to the Celtics in what? I mean, what do you think the over-under in number of games is going to be?
I mean, I'll tell you this. I was looking at it last night, and I was just using DraftKings, so I haven't looked at all the shops. But the Celtics minus 2.5 games, meaning in order to win the bet, the Celtics would have to win in 4 or 5, was minus 140.
Yeah.
So the Celtics are expected to win in 5 or less games. They are a minus 900 favorite in this series. So, yeah, like, awesome shot, really fun game, kind of a crazy game. But, like, you do know that Patrick Ewing played for this franchise for like over a decade, and I know never won a title, but he did something that Jalen Brunson hasn't done yet. He went to the NBA Finals.
It was such an absurd take. Like, I was trying to look up, was Leon Rose Jay's agent? Like, I was trying to like look and see if there were connections to where like it was Jay pumping up a
and then I thought Jay actually, because I stumbled, I'll be honest, I don't usually watch that show. And then I stumbled upon it because Greeny was out there, be like, hi, JJ Redick, worst coach of all time. And he's like, I thought he had a sensible like reaction. He was like, and I know it's the brotherhood and he's defending his buddy there, but I thought he was like, guys, he has coaches on his coaching staff that have been head coaches before. He's not doing this by himself. Like, he wasn't saying that his rotations were executed, but that's another hot take. Like, oh, JJ Redick, worst coach ever. I'm like, yeah, he had a bad series. I agree. The Timberwolves are better. Shocking.
Yeah, I don't know. What buttons was he supposed to push?
Right. It's like, was he gonna press the button of, hey, can I get Hakeem Olajuwon on my roster? Because that would be helpful right now when Rudy Gobert goes for 27-24 against our tiny lineup. And oh, by the way, Jackson Hayes probably shouldn't have played because he was awful. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I know Perk was out there crushing JJ. And I'm not defending him, but, like, I thought JJ did a pretty darn good job this year, to be honest.
I agree. It was kind of annoying at times. I thought he was doing it.
Like, really someone put out on Twitter, was like, oh, you know, Darvin Ham got to the Western Conference Finals his first year. It's like, okay, who do you think, as a ball watcher, who's a better coach, Darvin Ham or JJ Redick? Like, I have my answer.
You know, and it's interesting. I covered a series with Darvin Ham. I kind of like him, but to your point, Nobody
seems
else
like a nice
him.
Fella.
No, like I kind of liked like what he was saying. Like I don't. I also think being LeBron's coach is really hard.
Oh yeah, it's impossible. Yeah, it's like it's. I'm trying to I'm trying to think of the fair comparison here, because no one. And I think there's a lot that comes into being LeBron's coach, but I think it's also the fact that if you don't win, it's you suck, and if you win, it's well, you have LeBron, you have Luka. You know, it's like it's one of those where it took until I felt like LeBron left for people to be like, oh, Spoelstra's a good coach. Oh, okay.
Well, I kind of think though it's the same thing. Like, I think I've told George this. I don't think there's a coach I've done a bigger 180 on than Ty Lue. Because when Ty Lue had to coach LeBron, you're just like, man, this guy's just a patsy. And it's like, it was just very difficult to have any respect for him. He gets away from LeBron. You're like, oh, man, this guy can coach. Like, his teams are physical. He gets them to play with an identity. Like, he's a really good coach. But I just think, like, I think it's really hard to be his coach.
I would agree. I think it's hard to be any superstar's coach. And does that bring us back to the news of the day?
Well, and like to me, this is kind of the question that I wanted to ask, which is, are the Grizzlies, like if we're ranking the offseason storylines, I think number one, because not all of us agree, LeBron's playing for the Lakers next year, right? Like he can do the song and dance we do every year. He's playing for the Lakers next year. All right, moving on. The number one question has to be Giannis, correct?
If we're talking about like player personnel moving.
I'm just saying in terms of the biggest offseason stories, whether Giannis goes back to the Bucks, I think that's a big story, but what Giannis does, because to me it's like if Giannis goes back to the Bucks, it's this weird reality of everybody's been trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee for 5 years, but it almost feels like if he goes back this year, it might be like a Dirk situation where, quickly, I feel like the narrative could flip where it's like, maybe he's just going to be a Buck forever. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
I listened to Austin Rivers. He was on with Russillo.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it, but he basically said it, which was he wants the Bucks to trade Giannis. He's like, everyone thinks my dad sucks as a coach because he's put himself in this situation. He's like, he didn't. Once again, I'm paraphrasing. Go listen to it. But he essentially indicates, he's like, you know, it wouldn't be bad if they just hit the restart because there's nowhere they can go. The Bucks are screwed. Like, this roster, there's no Dame next year. They have no flexibility. They don't have a first-round pick. Like, they have no picks. Like, they really can't do anything. So, yeah, that's the interesting thing, where if you're the Bucks organization, this is what Rivers said and I agree with. If Giannis is like, no, I want to stay. Well, you got to keep him.
You got to move heaven and earth. Like,
And you got to try to make some tweaks and do all that, which you've tried to do. But like, yeah, if Giannis wants to be like Dirk or whatever and stay in Milwaukee, obviously you're like, all right, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it might take some lumps here, but.
And I do think though, there's some parallels with Dirk. Like every year with Dirk wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't just a home run. No. Like there was a good, consistent period of time for, like, 10 years where, okay, they were a part of the story. But, like, there were ups and downs a lot like this. And that's
Giannis,
the other thing.
If Giannis was American, would he be gone?
I don't know. Because what's interesting is I think
Or it's, maybe it's maybe it's because he's already got the title. And maybe he's like,
I think
won a title.
Question. If Giannis were to come up, the question for me is, would Giannis have been elite? Like, would we have recognized that Giannis is, like, elite and he's playing on the AAU circuit and whatnot? If that, and, like, because it feels like to me the guys that hop the most around are the guys that have been elite, like, elite-ranked guys for most of their lives. That seems to me to be the trend. But there are, I mean, There have been Americans that kind of stay in one spot. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of a tough
Reggie
question.
Reggie Miller, I know that's, you know, that's going back a ways. I mean, shoot, that was earlier. But
like a guy
century.
You and I were talking about off the air. I mean, like, Paul Pierce eventually moved, but I mean, he stayed with the Celtics forever. And, well, like, they were on some, like, there were some bad Celtics teams.
There were some bad Celtics teams, but if Danny Ainge doesn't make the big swing for Ray Allen and Garnett, does he stay as long as he does? I don't know.
Well, he threatened to move multiple times.
I mean, and look, you could say Kobe, but Kobe, let's not forget, Kobe wanted out. Like
Kobe was almost going to the, remember the Clippers were going to play like half their games in Anaheim to be closer to his Orange County house.
Well, and wasn't the deal with the Bulls like done? Like he was going to the Bulls, if I remember correctly. I'm not an NBA historian, so.
The problem is a lot of those things are like, there's a lot of revisionist history with NBA careers.
Let me ask you this. And I know we've veered off of the breaking news of the day with the.
And it's not that exciting.
I could sense it in your voice, but
I know, like, that's the other thing. Like, I kind of like him. Like, he is like refreshingly blunt, but like, there's just not much to get excited about. Like, it's like, all right, we're going to run it back. Sweet. Sick. Awesome.
So if you're Milwaukee, have you, Van Pelt does this, what's the Louis C.K.? He got into some trouble, right? Is he out of trouble? Am I allowed to use him as an example?
I mean, like,
he had a Louis, bit.
Yeah, he kind of got me too'd, but then everyone started doing it's like kind of like what he got caught for was kind of weird, but not necessarily like.
So he used to have a bit called, "Of course, but maybe." If you're the Bucks, of course you want to keep Giannis, but maybe. Without any draft picks and any really youth on the roster, you call up the Spurs, who've got a bounty of picks. You call up the Rockets, who have a bounty of picks. And you say, hey, let me get Stephon Castle, your first-round pick this year, which might be top three, three more first-round picks, and let's just rebuild this puppy here in Milwaukee, you know? Because this was another point that was made. The Bucks don't want to tank. Here's why. They don't have their picks. So yeah. Their picks are going elsewhere. So it's not like they want to suck, right? They're not going to be tanking for the next Cooper Flagg or whatever it may be. So, of course you want to keep Giannis, who's arguably the second or third best player on earth, and he's amazing and just had another amazing season and was phenomenal in the series against the Pacers. They also lost that series in five games. So I don't know. I think the Giannis thing is interesting because if you're the Bucks and he's like, I want to stay, you're like, of course, big guy, you're staying. But if he gives you any indication that he may want to leave, do you think about it? Knowing there are some teams out there like the Spurs and like the Rockets that have young pieces and a boatload of draft picks.
I think.
Or if you're John Horst, maybe you just call one team and trade him.
And make sure you don't let anyone know.
For an oft-injured star in one first-round pick.
Correct. And a pretty mediocre first-round pick.
Oh, can I just. Sorry. I don't know why I'm rolling, but. The air quotes vindication on Twitter for Nico Harrison, I'm like, what are y'all talking about? The Mavericks are doing what now? Nothing? And yeah, Luka just lost in the first round. He also came back and busted your ass and put 45 on your dome. Like, what are we doing? Like, there's no vindication for Nico Harrison.
You and I are in the same spot. It's like, okay, did Luka get hunted defensively? Yeah. Would they have even won a game without him? Would they have even been in the game without him? Like, but this is something that I thought was interesting. Do you put any stock into, like, the Lakers are pretty publicly blaming Luka. Like, it starts with LeBron going, man, AD, my guy AD said, get him another center. Get him some more help, like as if I wouldn't have done the deal. And then on top of that, you've got Redick going, we don't have championship guys in championship shape. I find it very odd that they're putting this all at Luka's feet because, yeah, on the one hand, you're trying to challenge him. And maybe you viewed that as that's the right approach. But, like, I contrast that with the Grizzlies. Like, the Grizzlies go, like, out of their way to protect Ja. And it's such a fascinating difference. And I kept wondering, I was like, does this mean maybe they don't have the warm and fuzzies about re-signing him?
I did find it weird. The LeBron thing I thought was more of a criticism of
the front office. The LeBron thing to me felt like what he does most off seasons, where he gets a microphone and he holds the organization's feet to the fire. Right. Do what I want you to do. But the other stuff is even more public.
Yeah. And I don't know, was it just calling out Luka? Because Luka, got sick in game three? And, I mean, that fall he took, I mean, he looked like me trying to, you know, play basketball late in my life here, where it's like, oh, my back. Like,
I mean, if anyone's ever had, like, back problem, it's you can't do anything. Like, everything just moving hurts. But, I mean, I'm not even making excuses. Like, I just thought it was such a strange approach.
And I also think, too, like, what were they calling that Austin Reeves at all? I don't know. Because
he was really bad this year.
Austin Reeves, like, I think he's kind of getting off the hook here, and I get it. Like, Luka and LeBron are going to go down as two of the best players of this generation, and Austin Reeves is not. But Austin Reeves was a baller this year, and he sucked in this series. Like, he was bad.
No, and I mean, like, that's kind of what I'm getting at, which is,
I don't think it's that, I don't know, I don't think it's that hard of a fix in Los Angeles. I'm not saying that they're going to rival the Lakers, the Thunder or something like that. But, I mean, if you look at what the Mavericks did to help Luka last year, it was Daniel Gafford. It was Derek Lively.
Drafting Lively at the back end of the lottery and and trading for PJ Washington.
Yeah, you could do that. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith was a nice piece, and you got him trading D'Angelo Russell. Like, you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to trade Austin Reeves. I know they don't have much draft capital. I guess they have the 31 pick. Also, I thought it was funny, too, Mark Williams on Twitter on Thursday night. I'm like, what'd you do, buddy? Like, what'd you do to help out your franchise this? Oh, nothing? Okay, cool. Like, I just,
no, it was, I don't know.
The takes were flying, man, after they lost that game to the T-Wolves.
Yeah, that one was, and then, yeah, oh boy. No one on that set's going to struggle to come up with a Lakers take. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer's going to join the program. Let's talk to him about his coaching rankings and kind of the weird spot that we're in college football, because I think there's an interesting question here, Tim, and I'll let you think about it during the break. Are we starting to maybe not value the head coach like we once did? Because now it feels more like it's the roster than it does the head coach. So let's talk about that with Blake when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN. Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is SEC Football Unfiltered. New episodes available each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on Twitter on X at @BTopmeyer. Blake, you posed an interesting question yesterday on X, the Everything app, in which you were discussing the ACC coaching rankings. And Dabo's won. We're in this weird upside-down world where arguably the greatest NFL coach of all time is coaching in the ACC, and we have no idea what to do with him. How did you think about it?
Yeah, so I put Belichick 10th kind of in my ACC rankings sort of squarely in the middle of the conference because I just don't know what to do with him. Like, you can't ignore his history as a coach. I mean, you know, six Super Bowls coaching New England, but I'm not sure how directly that translates to coaching modern college football. And then, you know, we have this whole bizarre scenario with his 24-year-old girlfriend casting a shadow over Belichick and the program and kind of raising some questions of, like, who's steering this ship, the guy with six Super Bowl championships or the girlfriend who's a former Miss Maine contestant, you know? It's really strange scenario. I mean, I don't think I'm as far as some of the media types this week that sort of, I thought, overreacted to the CBS interview from this weekend. I mean, I thought it was worth a reaction, but I thought, like, you know, the reaction of, like, oh, this is a train wreck. This whole thing has failed already. I don't know about that. I mean, it's some off-season drama that need not have happened. I don't see any reason for Belichick and his girlfriend to have, created drama where there was no need for any. However, I don't think it means that this experiment has already failed either. I don't really know what to make of it. I think it could work for North Carolina, or I think it could be a massive bust.
Yeah, Cobb and I were talking about it yesterday, and I don't know. I feel like it's going to be – there's only, like, two outcomes, I feel like. I feel like we're going to look up in November, and we're going to see that North Carolina is clearly good, and it's like, oh, yeah, one of the greatest coaches of all time is in college football in a league that – has a lot of disparity between roster money, and his roster is pretty good and he's a good coach. And, like, what were we expecting? Like, we overthought this. But then there's, like, the flip side of, like, I don't know, man, like, there's this, like, real question of, like, if North Carolina had a mulligan, would they do it again? Like, you hear competing voices. And I think it's easy to sit there and say, well, they wouldn't have done it because they haven't played games yet. Like, If he wins, everyone's going to sit there and go, we did the right thing. But then there's, like, this reality of, like, this universe, like, what if he's just not cut out for it? Like, it feels like it's just one of those two outcomes is what I'm expecting, one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think we'll know by October, right? But, yeah, I mean, if you take away some of the senseless drama with the girlfriend and look at the off season, like, it's it's not been a bad offseason for Carolina. They hit the portal pretty heavily, which tends to happen when coaching changes occur. I think they've done pretty well in the portal. Maybe not to the level that Miami's done it, but Mario Cristobal's kind of an unmatched recruiter in the ACC, and he's as we know, he's got a pretty good war chest behind him too. And so overall, I feel like Belichick's had a decent offseason when you just look at the football things. It's the stuff with the girlfriend that's just strange. And I don't know how much to make of that. Like, I don't think she's going to have the headset on, calling the third down defense or anything like that. I guess we can't rule it out. But I just kind of wonder, like, where's his focus? Like, and if this whole thing was, like, supposed to be a 1 or 2 year stop to get back to the NFL, well, then to me, it's not going very well, because I don't think the NFL wants this drama that's kind of going around with Belichick right now. And so if it's to coach college football for 5 years, I guess that's fine, as long as he's really committed to it. I don't know. I mean, like I said, the biggest thing for me is, like, it's hard to figure out what his focus is right now, what his motivation is. Does he just want to coach some games because he's bored and he doesn't really know what else to do with his time? Well, then if that's the case, I don't think that's great for North Carolina, right? I mean, I thought, like, if he came here motivated to prove to the NFL owners that they flubbed by someone not hiring him, I thought, well, that could be a good thing, right? I mean, a revenge tour can be pretty good motivation. But, like, his behavior doesn't really match that, because, like, creating a bunch of drama, I don't think is a great way to get back at NFL owners. So, yeah, I'm just sort of struggling to see what his motivation, what his drive is right now. And yet I'm trying to not, make too big of a deal of that, because I do think football wise, like I said, he's had an okay offseason, and they've made some good additions in the portal.
Blake Topmeyer joining us here. His latest article over at the USA Today, ranking the top quarterbacks in the ACC. You've got Dabo one. It's funny because you think back to, I don't know, last offseason, it was, it's passed by Dabo. He doesn't want to go in the portal. They are consistently 9 wins. Well, they turn things around. They win the conference last year. They go to the playoff. And now there's a ton of hype regarding this Clemson team heading into this year. I want to spin your rankings a little bit here, and I'm putting you on the spot, but because I did an exercise on my pod yesterday, Blake, ranking the returning quarterbacks. And when you look at, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, there's a lot of uncertainty. I put Cade Klubnik number one in the country as a returning QB. Where are you on Cade, and what do you expect from this Clemson team in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're I expect a lot. I expect them to be back in the playoff and maybe going deeper in it than what they did last year after first round exit. So, I mean, I think they are the ACC front runner, and they need to be back in the playoff this year. As far as the quarterback power rankings, I think it's kind of is it based on what you've seen? In which case, I think you can make a case for Klubnik being like one or two. Or is it based on, a little bit of belief in what you think the ceiling is going to be? I mean, I'm kind of in on the Arch Manning hype. I think he's going to be really, really good this year. And I think Sark might be in the end kicking himself for not playing him a little bit more last season, although I know it's hard to do when you have someone proven like Quinn Ewers as well. I think Garrett Nussmeier,
literally a yard away from tying the national champion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know it's hard to go to your backup quarterback.
So, and Blake, and just to jump in real quickly, I put Arch seventh, kind of like what you did with Belichick, which was like, I know he's really talented, but it's hard for me to put him one on just a projection, right? Like Julian Sayin could be awesome. Who knows, right? Like, CJ Carr, there's high expectations for him at Notre Dame, but I couldn't put any of those guys necessarily high on this ranking just based off we haven't seen it yet. Come the end of the year, you could absolutely be right. Arch Manning's the betting favorite to win the Heisman Trophy this year for a lot of reasons, but I couldn't get there yet because we've only seen it in a very small glimpse at Texas.
Yeah, it's been a small sample size. The sample size is bigger than what we've seen of Julian Sayin or CJ Carr.
Sure.
And Carr's in a different scenario too, coming off the injury. And so, yeah, I mean, with Arch Manning, he started the two games last year, one against Mississippi State, which was the worst team in the SEC. I just – yeah, I kind of wish we would have got to see him, you know, maybe against another SEC team to get a little bit, you know, is this the real deal? It feels like the real deal. It's hard to know for sure, other than maybe the name on the back of the jersey, and he's looked really good in the sample size we've seen. You know, Carson Beck's another one, not coming off of a great season, but was still, I feel like, you know, upper tier, but not at his top tier, not as good as he was 2 years ago, but I'd have him in a top tier. Sam Levitt, I'd have near the top tier. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, near the top tier. You know, Lagway, if he can get healthy, dealing with the shoulder stuff at Florida, but I'd have him near the top two. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, who's number one? I think that's open to debate. Is Cade Klubnik in the top tier? I think he is. You know, the thing with Dabo, you mentioned, like, you know, has the game passed him by, this, that, and the other. Like, I think this one falls into the two things are true at once. Like, I think Dabo's still a really good coach. I think his method still helps. Is good enough for Clemson to be at near the top of the ACC. I also think if he's going to win his third national championship, it wouldn't kill him to take a few more transfers. Like, I'm not backpedaling off the, Dabo has proved us all wrong. He doesn't need transfers. Like, no, he still lost in the first round of the playoff last year. I do think he could benefit from some transfers. And also, his method still is pretty good. I think he's just sort of missing the final piece, which is adding a few more transfers than he's been willing to do. At least he added three this year, which is three more than what he added before last season.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking about, because Tim, I think your position's defensible. I think the way that I'm looking at it is, I think Arch is more talented than Quinn Ewers, and I trust Sark. But I was also thinking about this, Blake. Was the biggest story in college football this week the one that I feel like just kind of got glossed over? Kurt Bowles of the Houston Chronicle reporting that Texas's roster is going to be between $35 and $40 million this year. Like, the other reason why I kind of believe in Arch Manning is, guys, like, if that's true, that roster's insane. That's double what Ohio State's roster was this year. And, like, I know prices went up this year because of the house settlement, or lack thereof at this point, but that was the biggest story, because if that's the going rate, Texas is about to, even in the SEC, put themselves in a different category of all the other teams.
Yeah, and we saw this too from John Talty from CBS reported a similar figure like a week ago. Now, he didn't pin it to Texas, but that figure has been floating around for a little bit now. It is. We do have to sort of apply inflation, I guess.
You have to take everything with a grain of salt. But the fact that when Bowles wrote it, and then when he laid it out, there's some funny business that you could kind of point to, but it seemed to me like it was like real money for the most part.
No, yeah, I buy that. I guess I'm just saying, like, you know, if last year Ohio State's roster was $20 million, and then you add in the house money, like, that's how we get from $20 million to $35 million, right? And I do think, like, going back to what Nick Saban said before last season, like, spending money's great if you're buying the right guys. Now, I mean, I trust Texas to buy the right guys. I don't think this is a case of just throwing money around just to throw money around. No, I think Texas is, Texas. I wouldn't have any problem with someone who labeled Texas the front runner to win the national championship. And maybe that feels like a risk because they got a new starting quarterback. But if you're going to go to a new starting quarterback, there's nobody I'd rather have than Arch Manning. And I do think he's going to be populated with great talent around him. I agree. I trust Sark as much as anyone in the country at this point when it comes to quarterback development. He proved it at Alabama. He's proved it at Texas. And I think he's going to prove it again with Arch Manning. It doesn't surprise me that Texas is getting to that figure. I don't know that they'll be the only team with that figure. I would think Ohio State is probably going to be floating around that figure as well. If they were already at $20 million last year before the house settlement, revenue sharing money, well, I think they can easily get to $35 million once you kick in some revenue share. And I know this wasn't your question, but to just kind of add on to this, I think some coaches, like, their heads are exploding over this $40 million figure. Well, I look at it as, like, that's only twice the payroll of what most high level coaching staffs make. Yeah. Like, you know, the head coach makes 10 million and then you got your 10 other assistants, you know, figure they're averaging $1 million a piece. Some of your assistants make less, your coordinators make more.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it still seems like a bargain to me. If your roster's 35 million and your coaching staff's 20 million, I mean, good luck finding an NFL roster where the roster is only twice as much as the coaching staff. Like, NFL rosters are what, like 10 times the payroll of the coaching staff.
I think it's so, like, I think most people do the study. I think it's 80-20 roughly.
Yeah, it's 80-20 in the NFL. Okay. So yeah, I mean, it's 2-1 for the highest level of roster in college football now. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of $15 to $20 million rosters floating around, even Super 2 conference teams in the Big Ten and the SEC. There's going to be a lot of rosters in the $15 to $20 million range, which is about what you're paying for your coaching staff. So it's a 1-1 ratio. So the teams that are willing to do a 2-1 ratio are not only willing but have the funds to do it. That seems like a winning formula, and to me, it still seems like a pretty good bargain, with the caveat that I realize you have to fund all these non-revenue sports.
Well, and Ohio State was the only one who just said it. I don't think they were the only $20 million roster last year.
To Blake's point, I'm mainly saying not that Texas is one of one in college football. I don't think the rest of the league's getting there.
Well, I don't know
if the rest of the league's matching $35 million. No, I mean, I think the rest of the league...
That was my point.
There's going to be a lot of schools above 20, I think, SEC. And I do think, like, the most expensive roster may have won the national championship last year. I don't know that that's always going to be the case. I do think if you have the most expensive roster, you've had a great shot of making the college football playoff. I don't think it guarantees you the trophy. I don't think it's going to be, you know, the runner up every year is necessarily the second highest paid roster and on down the line. But yeah, if you got the highest paid roster in the sport, if you've got a good quarterback, if you've got a good coach, I think that ticks a lot of boxes, and you better at the very least be in the playoff.
Well, what I think too, and just kind of diving into my kind of early research of the football season now that the portal is closed, is you look at the odds board right now, guys, the top seven, six of them have new quarterbacks, and none of them are from the portal. And that's what I think is kind of interesting, right? You look at Will Howard and Riley Leonard last year. They go to Ohio State, Notre Dame. They play for the national title. Dylan Gabriel's the starting quarterback for Oregon. They're number one majority of the year. Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, Bama, Notre Dame, all 14-1 or shorter to win the title. And they all have new quarterbacks, but they're all inexperienced. The only one in that lump is Penn State. And, you know, I've got plenty of questions about Drew Aller. So I think this year in college football is really going to be fascinating, because there's a lot of veteran quarterbacks as you kind of go through the mid-tier. But up top, a lot of talent, but a lot of unknown, right? Arch Manning, I still consider unknown. Julian Sayin, Gunnar Stockton, Dante Moore, Ty Simpson. We mentioned C.J. Carr already. I think that's what's so intriguing to me about upcoming season. Joey Aguilar, sure, if you want to go that route. Is he going to be the starter?
I think 50-50 chance. And that's not a cop-out.
Someone's got to take those bullets against Georgia early.
Yeah, I think those are the real odds. And I think, like, there are still Tennessee fans, like, convincing themselves that somehow, like, Tennessee won this exchange with Nico, or at the very least came out, you know, looking all right. It's like, no, you didn't. You got worse at quarterback, and maybe you stood your ground, and maybe you had to on some level, but you didn't walk away a winner here. You got the guy, and Joey Aguilar, that's fine, but he led the nation last year in interceptions, and his interceptions are going to come down this year, because either he's not going to be the starting quarterback, A, so they're going to come down because he's on the bench, or B, because Heupel's system keeps quarterbacks out of interception situations. But no, Tennessee, yeah, they downgraded a quarterback. We've been through this, and it takes them, to me, out of the national championship mix, in so much as they were before. I mean, you know, they weren't near the top of the list before, but they're less of a they're less of a realistic contender, for the national championship now, because of what happened at quarterback. And yeah, to the point of developing your quarterbacks, I think that is sort of the interesting counter argument to this whole reaction to Nico. Like, I thought there was sort of some knee jerk stuff after Tennessee lost Nico, of like, oh, this is why you don't invest in, you know, a five-star guy and pay him and develop him. It's like, really? Because I think it's going to work fine for Texas. Like, I don't know what Texas was paying Arch Manning the last couple of years, but I don't think he was a freebie sitting on the bench for 2 years behind Quinn Ewers. I think they were investing in him, and I think it could pay off in a national championship this year for Texas. So, yeah, I thought it was really knee-jerk. You know, some of the narratives coming out of the whole Tennessee deal of like, oh, don't play this, recruit a high schooler and invest in him and let him sit on the bench for a couple years because they're going to transfer anyway. Well, no, because, yeah, a lot of these guys, you know, near the top of the pecking order in the national championship odds, they are going to have new starting quarterbacks, but they're guys that are five-star recruits that have been in the program, and one of those guys might be a national champion, come January.
Well, that's kind of what I think is interesting about this discussion, Tim. I know every fan base thinks that when they get a new quarterback, they're going to be better.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.